For the second presidential cycle in a row, Scientific American magazine has partnered with ScienceDebate.org to find out where the presidential candidates stand on science. The questions were developed and refined through a crowdsourcing of dozens of scientific organizations representing more than 10 million scientists. The answers were graded on a point system on three criteria. Did they address the question? Were they informed with respect to scientific consensus? And did they have workable details? Christine Gorman is a senior editor at Scientific American. She oversaw the process, which became a 47-page long article titled Grading the Candidates on Science. It includes everything from climate change to immigration. We'll ask about that and link you at hereandnow.org as Christine joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Hi.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm fine. And first of all, just give us an overview. How would you say, is there a way that you could, in one sentence, compare the leading candidates, Hillary Clinton's responses to Donald Trump's responses? Is there something that appeared across the board?
Oh, there's no question that Hillary Clinton's answers were far and away much better than Donald Trump's. She had a clear grasp of facts, was clearly based in the world of objective truth. And unfortunately, Donald Trump's were not.
Well, and you had passing grades for each. How many did each get?
Well, we actually ended up grading them on a score of 0 to 5, which is what we did 4 years ago when we graded Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, who were then running. 4 years ago, those two candidates were very close. In this case, 4 years later, it's astonishing. Hillary Clinton scored 64 points on our 0 to 5 scale. Donald Trump scored 7.
We should say you sent the questions to Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. Johnson got 30 points, Stein 44. So she was up there as well. But let's start with climate change. There's something immediately notable in his response. Donald Trump puts the phrase climate change in quotes.
Yes. And this is the sort of thing that a candidate does to indicate to his base that he's not really treating it as something that is real and serious and dangerous.
Well, he says there's still much that needs to be investigated in the field of, quote, climate change. Perhaps we should use our limited financial resources in making sure everyone has clean water. Perhaps we should focus on eliminating lingering diseases around the world like malaria.
To suggest that in a time of limited financial resources, you can't deal with climate change, but you can deal with clean water and malaria efforts just shows a fundamental lack of understanding of the issue. If you think about what is happening already in some of the high-altitude tropical areas where malaria is going up the side of the mountain because of the warmer weather and wetter atmosphere, that is already happening as a result of the 1 degree increase Celsius over the last 100 years in average global temperature. So to suggest that don't focus on climate change because we want to do this other thing over here that actually is partly dependent on climate change shows what he still doesn't get.
Well, Hillary Clinton and her response and all her responses earns her reputation as a wonk. She sets out paragraphs of suggestions, a $60 billion clean energy challenge to partner with states, cities, and rural communities, take the lead on clean energy, build on the range of pollution and efficiency standards, clean energy tax incentives. When I asked you what a difference between the two candidates might be, one that really becomes clear as you read all the answers is that Hillary Clinton is very willing to use the government to get involved in some of these science issues. Donald Trump is less so.
That's true. And I think you have to ask yourself, what is government for? And I think at a minimum, we can all, no matter what political persuasion we might be, accept that government is there to protect us from threats, foreign and domestic. And I would say that when there's something that's so overwhelmingly large, as climate change is, as energy policy is, as international pandemics are, you really do need the convening power of government working with business to address some of those challenges. I mean, we didn't beat back smallpox without having an international organization.
Well, let's look at some of the other issues. You mentioned energy. Hillary Clinton, page and a half response. Donald Trump, one paragraph. And here it's very clear. You know, she says, we're going to have $500 million solar panels installed by the end of my first term, cut energy waste, launch a $60 billion clean energy challenge to partner with states, cities, again, the government, cutting carbon pollution, expanding clean energy, especially for low-income families. His one graph makes, again, that distinction. He says a thriving market system will allow consumers to determine the best sources of energy for future consumption. So, again, that distinction, get the government involved with programs, get the government out of it, let the market do it. It's amazing to us, Christine, how many categories are now under science, you know, the internet, mental health. What's another category where something really, a difference really jumped out at you?
What we really want to emphasize is that these are not just trick questions somehow. It's an open book test. The point is really to see whether or not there's an acceptance of objective reality. You might want things to be a different way, but science gives you a set of tools, for example, with cigarette smoking and lung cancer. Similarly, we know that fracking, for example, you know, here this comes under energy policy, and we're already seeing this in Oklahoma and Texas, that fracking is causing an increase in seismic activities in those states. When you say the market, does the market care whether an earthquake hits Dallas or Tulsa? No. That's up to governments and elected officials, and the people can have a say in working with the evidence showing that there is a problem here. The point is you take the science and you work with what has been shown to you. You don't say, oh, the market's going to take care of everything, because the market doesn't know about geology, for example.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't always assign responsibility to the markets. It's fascinating that the opioid crisis is included in this science questionnaire. You asked how the candidates would enlist researchers, doctors, pharmaceutical companies to help. Donald Trump talked about not letting drugs in.
That was a big surprise to me because, of course, the opioid crisis, for the most part in the United States, is an issue of prescription drugs and prescription drugs being the gateway to so we're talking about fentanyl and others that are more powerful than illegal heroin or other illicit drugs.
Well, some of those drugs are coming from other countries,
right.
The fentanyl, the synthetic. What did the candidate say about vaccines?
Well, there it seemed that the question, which was also part of the 2012 set of questions on vaccination, is important because there is kind of an anti-vaccine movement. And this is something you see more on the left than on the right, this idea that vaccines somehow cause autism, which has been consistently shown not to have any basis. Clinton clearly accepts the importance of vaccines, talks about how to make them better, and how to educate parents about vaccines. Trump said basically that what the government is already doing was fine, but he has also this history of anti-vaccine statements, which comes back once again to you have to accept the science, you have to accept the evidence.
You asked them about education, the internet, cybersecurity, but also immigration. Why? How does immigration fit into science?
There are 20 questions, and we actually analyzed the answers to all 20 questions. We did not grade the one on immigration. So why in a set of questions about science is there a question about immigration? That's largely because of the H-1B visa program, which brings in a lot of computer scientists and engineers. That's the science angle of it.
Well, interestingly, Donald Trump says if we allow individuals in this country legally to get their educations, we should let them stay if they want to contribute to our economy. It makes no sense to kick them out of the country right after they achieve such extraordinary goals. In that way, he agrees with her.
Right.
Is there anything Donald Trump, I mean, it's obviously he didn't have the respect for the science that you would have liked to see, but was there any place where he really surprised you?
The one place where he really surprised me was in the question about oceans and ocean health, where he did not mention oceans or fish or coastlines or anything. It was just like, I give up on this one.
I was actually looking for one where he pleasantly surprised you with maybe more knowledge about science or, an answer that dovetailed with the current science.
I was gratified that he recognized how much mental health is an issue in the prison population. That would be fair.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
By the way, so what did he talk about in the oceans segment, if not oceans or coastlines? What was the...
Basically, he said, you know, see all my other answers for an idea of what I would do.
That's Christine Gorman, senior editor at Scientific American. They partnered with ScienceDebate.org for the second presidential election in a row. They presented the candidates with 20 questions about science. We'll link you to the answers at hereandnow.org. Christine, thank you.
Pleasure.
Now, Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson submitted answers. He said he pledged to scrutinize all funding with an eye to reducing spending, but he supports limited funding for applied science that has a clear public benefit. That's Libertarian. Green Party candidate Jill Stein, who again scored very well, said we should label GMOs and support organic and regenerative agriculture and put a moratorium on pesticides until proven safe.